Hey, everybody. I want to preface this podcast by saying that those who contribute to our life together as a covenant family are second to none. Who we are as a church, it is not defined by our building, by our online presence, or by any of our programs. Who we are as a church is who we are as people, each of us together. Today's episode was prompted by thinking about you and how we think together about your contribution to our collective covenant family. So with that, here we go with our Covenant Weekly Podcast Episode 3, Volunteers. As a nation, volunteerism is essential to how we function. Hospitals, sports organizations, political parties, and social service agencies all rely significantly on volunteers in order to operate. Statistics Canada released an overview of volunteerism in June 2020 based on data from 2018. In 2018, almost 12.7 million people aged 15 and older volunteered almost 1.7 billion formal volunteer hours. Formal volunteer hours are hours that were with a Canadian charity. That is the equivalent of more than 863,000 full-time year-round jobs that were filled by volunteers. Those born between 1996 and 2003 volunteered at the highest percentage rate. They volunteered at 52% rate. But they have the fewest volunteer hours per year at 82. 36% of those born between 1946 and 1965 volunteer, but their average volunteer hours per year is 153. Once you get to those born before 1946, only 32% of them volunteer, but their average hours per year is 222. When measuring informal volunteering, you know, volunteering that's not associated with a charitable organization, the youngest generation still volunteers more than any other age group, with 78% of them volunteering. And those born between 1946 and 1965 informally volunteered the most number of hours, averaging 197 hours per year for each volunteer. What got me looking into this study was thinking about the idea of volunteering in the church. The study looks at the average number of volunteer hours per person, per organization type as well. For example, in arts and culture, volunteers put in, on average, 104 hours per year. In sports and recreation, volunteers put in, on average, 105 volunteer hours per year. In social services, volunteers put in, on average, 88 hours per year. But in hospitals, volunteers put in, on average, 111 volunteer hours per year. Hospitals are the organization type with the highest number of volunteer hours per year on average. I'm curious, where do you think religious organizations fit in this picture? Among those who volunteer with a religious organization, what do you think their average number of annual volunteer hours are? I've already said that the 111 hours at hospitals is the highest. Do you think churches are up near that? Or are they higher or lower than sports and recreation? Are they down near social services? Or maybe they're down closer to education and research, which sits at 51 volunteer hours per week on average. What's your guess? Before I answer that, let me explain why I've been thinking about this idea of volunteering and the church. The main reason is that I really don't like the term volunteer for contributing with the church. I'm thinking out loud here, but I'm not sure we should call those who participate in the church life in unpaid capacities volunteers. Here's a few reasons why I'm thinking this. See if any of these reasons make sense to you. First reason I'm not a big fan of the term volunteers in churches is that it suggests that churches are first and foremost formal organizations, like hospitals and minor sports league and social service agencies. But the biblical images for the church are not organizational images like that. They include the images of building, a body, and a family. You know, imagine a building where a brick or several bricks could just decide, yeah, I'm not into it this week. I'm out. Or a body where a knee could just decide to check out. You know, some of you have experienced body parts giving out, and some of us have experienced injuries that have caused a body part to not be functioning. And it requires the attention of much of the rest of the body until that thing can get working again. Or imagine a nuclear family where people could opt in and out of participating like volunteers. You know, yeah, I don't feel like parenting this week, so I won't be around to make my toddler meals. Or, hey, hon, today's your lucky day. I'm here to spell you off. I'm available to volunteer for 2 hours of being a father this week. Truthfully, there may be some families or individuals within families that operate that way, but they probably aren't very healthy. A building, a body, and a family all call for people to operate as a cohesive part of a whole in order to function at their best. That doesn't mean everyone does the same thing or carries the same load within those contexts. But if those are the images we have to help us understand what the church is supposed to be like, they do move us away from the idea of people as volunteers at a church and more towards seeing people as vital parts of a whole who have an essential role to discern and to play. A second reason I'm not a huge fan of the term volunteer in the church is that I fear it may devalue the contribution of those who are not paid. Often when we put money into something, it takes more emotional value. We see it as being more valuable than things that don't cost money, or we can't see the cost built in on a regular basis. Let me use a family analogy again. Almost all of us would say that our kids are worth far more than the things that we own. And I might truly believe that to be true. But imagine I spend $100,000 on a brand new car and I get it home and it's in my driveway and my son dents it with a baseball. My loyalty to my son and putting him above the thing I just spent $100,000 on, it's going to get tested. More often than not, what I just spent a huge amount of money on is going to become more important to me in that moment, even if I regret it later. Likewise, it's very easy for a church that spends a bunch of money on running Sunday morning programs or maintaining a building to make the program and the building the most important things, even if we say they shouldn't be. For this reason, what we don't spend money on, the work that volunteers do, tends to get devalued in practice. This is the opposite of the way it should be. The contributions of the family should be the most important, the most valued thing. This does perhaps demand that we rethink the role of paid staff. Now, I'm not suggesting that there shouldn't be paid staff, but maybe we need to allow the Bible to guide our thoughts toward paid staff rather than the employment world. In the Bible, both Old and New Testament, the contributions of the people of God went to three primary purposes. The first was to care for the poor. A second was to facilitate community celebrations. In the Old Testament, that was the community feast that they had together. In the New Testament, people brought stuff together and they shared it at the Lord's Supper. The third thing that the contributions of the people of God went towards in both the Old and the New Testament was to care for those who put their primary efforts into facilitating the life of the worshiping community. In the Old Testament, that was the priests. They were provided for by the offerings of food and money that were brought to the temple. In the New Testament, this was the leaders of the local churches who studied and taught and prayed and facilitated the life of the community. What's important to note in that, though, is that the priests in the Old Testament and the New Testament church leaders were not employees. They were a part of the family who played a unique role, and the community didn't want them to be distracted by having to earn income elsewhere. That's the key, though. They were a part of the church family. They were a part of the family. It's like they were like the stay-at-home parents. And they had a unique contribution that couldn't be replaced by whatever other contribution they could make by going outside to earn income. That didn't make their contribution more valuable than those who were not financially supported by the community. It simply made it different. And every person's contribution was equally important, however different it was. One could not exist in healthy ways without the others. A third reason I'm not a fan of the term volunteer in the church is that it can divide churches between those who do things in the church and those who don't, without paying attention to other essential things. For example, those who are a part of doing work within the church organization, whether they're paid or unpaid, can easily start to look at those who aren't doing what those who are doing things think they should be and start complaining about them. And they don't pay attention to what else might be going on in their lives. You know, it's reasonable to think about why people aren't participating in some ways and why people are participating a lot. But any type of division can become really negative. It can lead to all kinds of other consequences. For example, I've sat in staff meetings where I've been told that I need to keep asking people to volunteer until they finally say yes. It was about creating a guilt-based culture, trying to force people to say yes by just harassing them enough. There was no room to take their situation into account. The truth is that some people are not at a place where they can contribute much time or energy into the organizational maintenance of a church community. Some, they've done it for years, and now is a time they need to be cared for. Others are so overwhelmed by other things that they're barely holding on. Still others are figuring out what it means to be a part of a church family, and maybe their wounds and past trauma have them afraid to engage too much. Some are at maturity levels that mean they aren't ready to contribute significantly at all. In this sense, the church is very much like a family. In a family, different people at different times contribute in different ways depending on their different capabilities. Rather than viewing ourselves and others as sources of volunteer hours, the church can and should be a family where those who benefit from the contributions of others should seek to be aware of those contributions and grateful for them. Those who contribute should remain aware of the limitations of others and be understanding towards them. With this kind of family unity, we should be able to share the needs we have at any given moment, and others should be ready to say, hey, oh yeah, I can do that, or I can't do that because of these reasons. We should be able to listen to each other and ultimately through that address the needs that we have. Fourth reason I'm not a fan of the term volunteering in the church is that it distances people from a true sense of belonging to a family. We volunteer in organizations where our connection is optional or at arm's length. We don't volunteer in something that we are an intimate part of. We participate in the life of the church. We contribute. But what we do is far more significant than volunteering. This is the same reason I'm not a big fan of the term donate for financial contributions in the church. I'm grateful that churches have benefits through charitable status, but when we contribute financially, it's more like contributing to our family expenses than donating to a charitable organization. It's doing something far more significant. All that being said, there are some other essential points when it comes to contributing in the life of the church. The first is that contributing time and energy within the church, it's not required in order to be loved or to find belonging. In that sense, there is an element of volunteerism. It's not mandated. It's an optional, it's a welcome, it's an invited thing. I will contend that those who are a part of the family should, as they're able, contribute to the life of that family. God's family should be a space in which guilt and obligation are not the tools we use, though. That contribution that people put in should flow out of a sense of belonging to the family. It's not a prerequisite to belonging. A second concluding point when we think about contributing to the life of the church is that we need to make sure we don't limit the life of the church to activities within the organization of the church. Again, let's use the family analogy. If someone goes to work all day, are they contributing to the family? They're not at home, they aren't vacuuming, they aren't washing the dishes. Well, of course they're still contributing to the family. If someone gets fed at a family meal and then goes and volunteers in a hospital, is that family work? I would argue, yes, it's the work of the family overflowing in good to others. The same is true of life within the church. Just because work and time and effort takes place outside of church programming or church budgets doesn't separate it from the life of the church. Because the church is the people, as the people overflow in their efforts in the community, that is the life of the church and should be celebrated. A final thing I want to note, and I've alluded to it already, but I want to say it explicitly, is that many have put in thousands and thousands of hours contributing to the life of the church, and they simply can't do it anymore. Sadly, they are often the ones who, when the topic of volunteering comes up, feel guilty because they can't do what they used to do. That's the opposite of how we should make them feel. Rather, they should feel honored by those of us who come behind them. We honor them by picking up what they can no longer do. We honor them by celebrating them and caring for them. We honor them by helping this family to continue to adapt and grow and thrive in the future. All this thought about volunteering in the church has me incredibly grateful. I'm so grateful for the scores of people who devote their time and energy and efforts to our life as a covenant family. I'm grateful for those who have done so in the past and who are now under our care. I'm grateful for those who are just starting to learn the value of contributing to the life of the family. I would be remiss if I wouldn't point out that those who have benefited from our online presence should be incredibly grateful to our younger generation for their contributions. They have helped make all this online stuff possible. I'm grateful for the thousands and thousands of volunteer hours that happen within our community as an overflow of the life of our Covenant family. We have an amazing family here at Covenant, and as we continue to share in this life together, contributing what we can, when we can, based on the skills that we have, we will continue to grow healthy for our good and for the good of the world in which God has placed us. Oh, yeah, I left a question open a while ago. What's the average number of volunteer hours per year among volunteers within religious organizations? The answer is 110. It's only one fewer than volunteers in hospitals. It's right at the top of the list. I think it's that high because so many of you already understand that contributing within the church is far more than volunteering. It's participation in the life of our family. Very quickly before we wrap up, just a reminder that we are online only for one more Sunday for sure. As we get into next week, the board will confer and let you know what our plans are beyond January. Watch our website, our social media presence, and next week's Covenant Weekly podcast for more information. Our annual congregational council is coming up on March 6th, 2022 at 3 p.m. This is our 2021 annual meeting, and all are invited to participate. This is a great way to contribute to the life of our Covenant family. Details for how to participate, whether online or in person, will be available when they are ready. As you go this week, I pray God's richest blessings on you as you move through the remainder of this week and what is to come. I'm honored to be a part of this family with you. God bless. Go in peace.